Thank the Lord for all the blessings He brings to us in the worship times, gift of music and prayer and just a quiet heart before Him that you might have today, or a heart of thanks. I recently discovered a mathematician who God used to help my faith in Christ. And that's a bit of a miracle in and of itself. The mathematician lived in the 1600s, and the miracle is I have no interest in mathematics whatsoever. Wasn't one of my favorite subjects in school. I went to college and took one mathematics course because it was required, and worked like a dog to get a B minus with the help of my roommate, and he was gracious to me. But the mathematician, his name is Blaise Pascal, just a man who liked science, and he only lived to the age of 39, died rather young. But in his 30s, he gave his heart to Christ. And he was a genius in his time. He invented a mechanical calculator, of all things. And, you know, we have calculators with a battery or electricity or something. But he invented a mechanical calculator. And from those principles, the modern-day calculators come to be. And he also discovered the principle of hydraulics, which is too complicated for me to explain here or understand. But what he discovered there, all hydraulic systems today put to use. So he had quite a mind, and he gave his heart and mind to Christ, and he had some great quotes about the Lord that I thought really were testimonies to him. And they motivate us, I think, to love God, because God is the one that we were created to love. We were really created to love Him and be loved by Him. So talking about love life today a bit, and God's love for you and your response, His love, your love to Him. Pascal said this about Christ as the one who would show us God the best. He said this: apart from Christ, we don't know what life is, nor our death, nor ourselves, nor God. When you think about the honor that God has given there and the honor Christ has given, without Christ, we don't know what our life is, nor death, nor God Himself. He said this: happiness is found not outside ourselves, nor inside ourselves. And most of us have been in the pursuit of that. Is there something outside me that I can find happiness in, something in the created world? Or maybe inside of me. I look inside of me and I think, well, there's nobody home but me sometimes. One contemporary writer said this: well, you can run, but where can you go to run from yourself? Where are you going to go to run from yourself? You're there. And you have to deal with the emptiness that's there or the togetherness that God invites you to. And so Pascal surrendered his life to God, made his whole life a love to Christ. That was his goal, all his sharp mind, his thinking, and all that he did. That's what the Lord's will is for each one of us, as a matter of fact. We don't have to be as bright as Pascal, but our offering of praise to God means just as much to Him. And I thought, certainly, that's what the Lord wants for us. You know, when Jesus was asked the question, hey, what's the greatest commandment? He pretty much said, the greatest one I can think of, which he happened to write, was love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you're made to do and made to be. And I wanted to share a couple of truths that come from that commandment. And Jesus said a second one was like it. You know, if you love God, love what God loves. Love what God loves. What does God love? People. God loves people. So if we're going to love God, we're drawn like a magnet to see how are people doing with life, with God Himself. That was part of our testimony to Him. And a couple thoughts to put into practice, if you would. And to see Christ at the very center, if you could, of loving God. That's the point of Scripture. That's a point of salvation. To know this, that God is the gift of Himself when we love Him. When we love God, the best gift or the best reward, as it were, would be just to know Him. He's the undeserved gift of putting a commitment to Him. He's worth it. He's the focus. He's the center point, you might say. He's the point of everything. And I'm reminded of a bicycle days as a little child when we would ride bicycles up and down the street. We would have little races, but we'd also have duels with our bicycles. And the goal was to knock out as many spokes in the other guy's bicycle as you could with your bicycle tires. Little mischievous thievery there. But there we go, knocking out the spokes. You know, those spokes were a part of the bicycle. They weren't the key, but they were important. And those spokes might represent the things in our lives we feel are important. A spoke of health, relationships, family life, work. All the things we feel are important. All connected to a center. Center of the bicycle, wheel. And Paul says, and the Bible says, the center is Christ. Christ. In Him all things hold together. God's Word says. Did you hold together this week? Did you hold together? When you held together, it was Christ holding you together. When you didn't hold together, that's when you're perhaps loving yourself or being in despair enough to turn to God. That's healthy when you don't hold enough together to turn to Him. But He presents Himself as the center to love God. And there's great testimonies about Christ and loving God through Christ, not only in the history, but also in the Bible. And I love those testimonies. Paul said about Christ, for example, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what Peter felt about Christ. He said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The person of Christ, Peter was all taken up by. And John, who was very close to Jesus in his lifetime, said this about Jesus. He said, he who has the Son has life. And he who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. John wanted us to have life in Christ only. And Thomas, even Thomas, who had a lot of doubts about Jesus, and you and I do on a regular basis. Thomas, when he met Christ, he said, my Lord and my God. A word of praise for Christ Himself. So this morning, as you say, you hear God's word, and you and I do, love God. Could we say we love God because He's shown Himself to us through Christ? If your heart is empty, and maybe not much love there for people, or let alone God Himself, would you say, Lord, I need Christ. I need Christ to take up full residence in my life or to give my life to Him. I find it real important to be real honest before God when I hear that commandment and an invitation to love Him. I think, Lord, why can't I love You along with all the other things in my life? And You just fit in there wherever I can get You, you know. So I list, I say, Christ. And I say, family, friends, work, recreation, Christ. And pretty soon, those things don't look so bright without the Lord being at the very center of them. How can I love them if I don't love Christ? To love them more than I love Christ would not be to love them properly. They all come from Him. And so soon, if God says, you know, I invite you to love me, He invites us to say, Christ! And then family, friends, recreation, work. That all those things are put under His Lordship. And we begin to love life because we find that we love best when we love God first. In fact, that's the only time we truly do love. We were created to love Him. Jesus said, no one would even get to the Father but by Him. And so we say, Lord, when my love for You is weak or fails or is not there, or is simply one love of many, Lord, show me who Jesus is, that I might love You with all my heart and soul and mind. I think this is the greatest need in a person's life today who would trust Christ and know Him. And think of the uniqueness of Christ, that He would draw us to Himself to love Him first. When I find my love for Christ failing, sometimes I'll open the Bible and again get reacquainted with Him. Read of His compassion for people, for me and you. Read of His miracles that He did, not only to help people, but to show people needed God. Read just of His person, his teachings, which are tremendous. Other things that attract me to Christ and say, well, he's the one I'm called to love. You know, Jesus never asked anyone for advice in life as he went through the world. And we're constantly encouraged in the Bible to seek advice. In many counselors, there's wisdom, good counselors. And Christ never went for anybody for counsel because he's the one who gave the counsel. So we turn to him. And the Lord also never asked anybody for prayer for confession of sin, for example, or that he would confess sins, that is. You and I are encouraged to do that all the time. Say, Lord, we need your help. Bring the forgiveness. Jesus is totally perfect and there on our behalf in that way. And a great attraction about the Lord is that he's never shocked by our sin. You know, we get shocked by our own sin sometimes and down on ourselves, and the Holy Spirit's faithful to bring conviction. But Jesus knows that sin, and he says, I know. I understand how you've turned away. And I would come to help and bring change and repentance and forgiveness. How gracious the Lord is that we could turn to him and love him fully as he is. I could call forward just one other testimony from history, the testimony of Jonathan Edwards, who was a man, again, had a great mind and wanted to love God with everything he was. Listen to what he said to Jesus. And so our hearts might be loving and obeying him this week. Edwards said that Christ was infinitely higher than all that he created. And you think of going to great scenes in nature, and we say, wow, but we say, wow to God. Thank you, Lord, for making such things. Christ is greater than all he's made. He went on to say, Christ is higher than all the angels. I don't know if you've ever experienced what you thought might have been an angel. Sometimes when our children had a close call, we would say, well, an angel got them out of that one, you know. And I've had people in the Christian circle say to me sincerely, I think I met an angel one time. They weren't talking about a girl or guy they were excited about. They were talking about a real angel they thought they may have met. And I say, that's really something. But follow Christ, because he's higher than all the angels. All the angels heaven can boast, Edward said. And he went on to say that Christ was greater than all nations put together. We have concern about nations in our world. What will happen to our nation? And the difficulties in Iraq and Afghanistan. And what about the great country of China? And you know, the Bible says all those nations, you know what they're like compared to Christ? They're loved by God, but they are, the Bible says, a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket compared to Christ himself and how glorious and wonderful he is. And so to meet the Lord and say, Lord, you are great and worthy of my love. And we'll meet in Jesus not only someone worthy of our heart's commitment and love, but we'll also meet one who's the most humble servant king in the universe. And isn't it a beautiful thing when you see humility expressed in some manner? It's all too rare, unfortunately, in our world. But when humility is there, that's a quality of Christ himself. He said he's humble. Learn from him. And I found in Christ, he is humble enough to help any person in any particular need. And as a pastor, you hear about a lot of needs and you see them and they're difficult and such. But I've never met a person in any need, not any sin, not any situation of brokenness or hurt, who did not turn to Christ, who was not helped by him. And Christ was sufficient to help that person right where they were at. And that could be you this morning. You say you come to God with a sense of brokenness. Or even if it's a sense of numbness emotionally or spiritually, and say, Lord, bring me to life again with you. He will do it. He is humble and would welcome you toward himself. To love him the best is what you were made for. And the truth is, if we don't love him the best, we attempt to love other things And that ends up destroying ourselves. So good. The Lord invites us to life and life abundance in Him. Pascal went on to say that in terms of loving God, he said loving God was self-evident. That's a fancy way of saying if God didn't do anything, if He didn't do any miracles, if He didn't help us in any way, if He was just there, He would be worthy of all our love and all our service and everything we had to give simply because of who He was. That's our glorious Lord. And to put icing on his love, of course, He gives of Himself to us time and time again. And might we find our life in Him. And this morning, if you're a Christian and your love for God has grown not so strong, and it's not a feeling, it's more of a heart faith, you know, and a thanks and appreciation for the Lord. If you're a Christian and your heart has grown cold toward Him, I'd say cry out to God and say, Lord, let me love You again as You deserve to be loved. Because You've loved me so much. Every good gift has come from the Lord. Just who He is. And then turn to Scripture and find in Jesus all that your heart longs to express as love. Turn to Him. We had a fellow at the church I was from. You know, I think, what do we turn into when we don't love God as Christians? I'll give for autobiography. I know I turned into just a sour, angry, religious Pharisee. You know, I don't want that on my autobiography. But that's what we turn into when we don't love God. You know, we don't want that. Fellow in the church I came from, he loved Christ and loved people, but when he was having a bad day, I'd say, how you doing there, Walter? And he would chuckle about this too, but his response was, pretty good for a crabby old man. Walter, you sound like me. But that's only when we don't love Christ. We become sour because we were really made to love Him. And then the people He loves. And if you've never received Christ and don't love Him, what are you giving your heart to that's so worthwhile? Is it you? Is it the things in life that are really from God Himself? Could you say, Lord, I put those all under You. I surrender them to You, my life to You, because I think I was made to love You and not anyone else. And what would your life be like without loving God? It's simply unthinkable. It would be like Mother Teresa without compassion. Can you think of a nun? Let's call her Mother Teresa. She had no compassion. She had no drive. And the world missed all that. It would be like Abraham Lincoln without courage. What would the country be like with an Abraham Lincoln without courage? It would be like a Billy Graham without preaching. Well, he'd be just another religious crabapple, you know. How about the United States without freedom? What would the United States be without freedom? It would simply be unthinkable. Unthinkable. And what is your life without loving God? It is simply unthinkable that we would choose that. He instead invites us to Himself, His beauty, His grace, His kindness, all He is and all He is for us. And surrender your heart to Him. Cry out to Him to warm your heart toward who He is and say, oh, Lord, I found my purpose to trust Christ, to follow Him, to love Him with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, and throws in people in there to love as we love ourselves. What a gracious God to give us a mission like that. And I shared Wednesday night with the group. I said, when I lose my way and don't know what to do a particular day or week, scratch my head in the morning and I feel like God says to me, whatever you do today, love God and love people. Because anything, if you don't do that, will be disastrous. But to love Him is life itself. Might we surrender our hearts to Him afresh this morning, particularly if you're not at peace with Him. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank You for being so truthful when You said to love God with everything we are. and you revealed yourself, dear Lord, as the center of God's reaching out to us. So Jesus, to not love you would be, we would miss everything. We surrender to you this morning. We say thank you for who you are, your love for us, which motivates us to love you back. And then you say, to express our love for you by loving the people around us. We're never at a loss, Lord, for opportunities to love them. They're all, simply all around us in the pew and the community and at work. As your people, Father, help us to love you once again and to grow in that love, grow in our trust of you. Pray, Father, for any who would honestly say with integrity before you, I don't love God because I don't trust him. I don't want him running my life. Might that person, Father, or persons just come to the end of themselves and see the dead-end street that they are on and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord for them. If they would just say, Lord, I need you. I turn from myself and I turn and confess you as leader in my life and Lord and Savior. Might your Holy Spirit bring birth among us this morning. As we've had the little ones born recently in our church, these are true miracles. Might the miracle of the new birth happen in hearts this morning who may not know you. Help us to know, Father, we can be church attenders and miss Jesus. We can even go for years at Norwin Alliance Church and end up away from you forever. How could it be? We thank you for Jesus, for being the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. Might there be hearts come to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We praise the Lord today together. If you have a prayer need and you'd like folks to pray with you, you're welcome to come forward and kneel and pray and just receive help, particularly if not quite sure that you're at peace with God. God's Word says we do have peace with God through faith in Christ. And so we do take his good mission and good love for us and love him with our activities this week.